now.
I don't know who he is behind that mask of his, but I do know when we need him. We need him now.
I'll call him, sir.
For some reason, the cool bars in Hollywood have to be hard to find and have to have no sign.
This is the Cocktail Nation.
Hey, this is Cooper. This week on the show, we talked to a woman who's written an interesting book on Marilyn Monroe, which is timely as it's been her birthday over the weekend. News on something big that tiki carver Marcus Thorne is involved in, plus a rumour about Brother Cleve of Combustible Edison fame. And a new release from Nutty coming our way. I've had a big week here in the penthouse. I did a photo shoot over the weekend, so new photos up on the Cocktail Nation website you might like to check out from this photo shoot with a good friend of the Cocktail Nation, Jack Maguire. Right now, Montefiore Cocktail.
The Cocktail Nation. Thanks to ultraswank.net.
Cocktail Nation lounge leader Coop Cooper, thanks to ultraswank.net and Pierre Piccione and Love War. Tonight we're talking to UK author Michelle Morgan, who's written a book called Marilyn Monroe, Private and Undisclosed. Hello.
Hello.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, because I know that you're a bit of a Marilyn Monroe enthusiast. Before we get into the book, how did this all happen for you?
Well, I was 15 years old, so it was 1985. And I was on holiday with my mum and dad, and I saw a picture of Marilyn. And I don't know why it sort of struck something on me, because I'd seen lots of pictures of her before, but this one particular picture, it was her with the gold dress on, and she was blowing a kiss. And I just really liked it. And I remember I said to my dad, I think I'm going to buy a book about her to read while we're on the beach.
Yeah.
And I did, and that was it. I became completely hooked. And then since then, I've been collecting books and magazines and everything else, and I used to run her UK fan club as well, which was a really good experience.
How many books about her have you read, do you think, in your lifetime?
Well, I've collected over 200 books, and I haven't read all of them. Some of them are photograph books, but You know, I've read the majority, so I would say, you know, getting on for 200, I would imagine.
So what made you think to yourself, you know what, there needs to be another book about Marilyn Monroe? With so many books out there, to come up with a different angle, something completely different that people haven't read before, that must have been a bit of a challenge, I would imagine.
It was. But what happened was I was reading these biographies and I was reading things about Marilyn and I thought, oh, you know, they were concentrating on scandal and, you know, and intrigue and all that kind of thing. And I, the kind of books I like are books that were written by her friends that just sort of tell her as an everyday person, you know, going to the shops, playing badminton, you know, just everyday little things like that. And so I wanted to write a biography that told the story of her as a person, as a human being, because I didn't think that many books had been published about her actually as a person. It was mainly about her as a superstar, you know, not really thinking about what she was like as a live human being.
We often get the impression from celebrities both today and from yesteryear that several events in their life were all defining and all-encompassing, and that's not necessarily the case. I mean, big things were isolated events that I'm sure had an impact on their life, but weren't who they were exactly.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. There's so many people concentrate on, you know, the Kennedy rumours or her death, and I think, you know, she had 36 years in this world, and to just concentrate on what happened on one particular evening that led to her death is really very, very sad, because it was just, you know, it was one thing that happened to her. She had a whole heap of great stuff that happened to her and a great load of achievements that she did. And so to concentrate on just the Kennedys or her death is, you know, it is a very negative thing to do.
When it comes to the people that that you spoke to for this book, I mean, how did you manage to track down people? I mean, this is a long time ago that she lived. It would have been very difficult, I could imagine.
It was quite hard. It was strange. Some of the people just sort of seemed to fall into my lap. For instance, I've interviewed a man called Bill Purcell, who was Marilyn's first boyfriend after she divorced her first husband.
Mm.
And he had never spoken before, never gone public before. And the reason I was able to find him was because my friend sent me an auction catalogue, and in it was a letter from Norma Jean, who Marilyn was, who'd written a letter to Bill saying that she'd had a nice time with him in Las Vegas. And I said to my friend, who is this man? And he's like, I have no idea. So I sort of got onto the internet and managed to find two Bill Purcells in the United States, and I wrote to both of them. And as luck would have it, one of them was him. And while he'd never spoken before, never even planned to go public ever with his friendship with Marilyn, I was very, very lucky because I became friends with him and he trusted me enough to share his memories with me. So that was a really huge thing. And then other people I've found through reading books and seeing a name and then, again, going onto the internet trying to track them down. And sometimes it's been very easy. I found people straight away. And other times, you know, a name will come up that I think is quite unusual, but actually, you know, about 60 people were born with that name, and that's been a bit harder. But it's been challenging, but it's been a really great experience.
You've also got some rare photographs in there as well. These photographs that haven't been seen before, or just simply rare photographs?
Some of them have never been seen before that were sent to me, for instance, by Bill. He sent me some pictures that he had, others from collector friends of mine that have bought these pictures, and they, you know, they've never been in a book before. Some of the pictures may be familiar for people who are on the internet who may have seen them, but they haven't actually been in print before, and so I've been very lucky. Some of the pictures as well were sent to me by the actual photographers, for instance William Carroll. He interviewed, photographed Marilyn when she was about 19 years old, 20 years old, and he sent me some pictures to use in the book, so I was very, very honoured and pleased to have them.
We'll be back with more from Michelle Morgan, author of Marilyn Monroe, Private and Undisclosed, shortly. Right now, Walter Wanderley and Girl from Ipanema. We'll be right back.
Nation.
Wait a minute. There's something going on here. And here. And here. That one man and only one man can solve. The world is in turmoil. Frenzied diplomats turn to their computers and come up with the one individual on Earth who can snatch victory from defeat.
Ocean, Deep Greaves,
the SG
Sound.
Extra dry, extra cold, rocks glass, no rocks, three olives.
The Cocktail Nation.
Oh,
The Gok Donation Lounge leader, Coop Cooper, Pink Martini and Sayori Yuki with Blue Light Yokohama. Tonight, talking to Michelle Morgan, author of Marilyn Monroe, Private and Undisclosed. And tell us a little bit about what you found in doing the research on this book that you didn't expect to discover.
Well, I discovered that Marilyn was actually a very shy person. She was a very serious person. She loved poetry. She loved literature. She took her acting very, very seriously. You know, most of the time we get told about this sort of, you know, sex symbol. That's all we see, the blowing the kisses, the glossy lips, all that kind of thing. And what I've discovered is the complete opposite. She never really sort of believed in herself. She was very insecure, and she did a lot of soul searching and a lot of trying to make herself better. She never finished high school, so that was always something that sort of clung on to her. She was always trying to make herself better because she sort of believed herself to be uneducated. So she went to acting class, she went to an art and literature class at UCLA when she was just on the verge of becoming famous. And in fact, she had to leave because people were starting to recognize her. So the most important thing that I've discovered is that she was a real-life human being, and she was quiet and shy, and she had her happy times, but she certainly wasn't the depressive, tragic person that we would, been led to believe. She had a lot of happy moments too.
Yeah. Marilyn Monroe, Private and Undisclosed, is out right now. Where can we grab it, Michelle?
It's available on Amazon and on all the internet bookshops. It's also available if you're in Australia. I've just been told that there's 1,000 copies just been shipped over there for bookshops over there. And in the UK, it's available in all the WH Smith branches. So everybody should be able to get a copy.
And from checking out your social media today, I've noticed that it's on the climb in the charts too.
It is, but I'm really absolutely thrilled about that. Somebody sent me a photograph of it on the charts, number 17 in the WH Smith charts in the UK, and I replied saying, oh, did you just put it there? You know, was it just on the shelf when you put it at number 17? And he was like, no, it was there. Then we ran down to our own branch of WH Smith, and sure enough, there it was. So that's been incredible. That's something that I actually never would have dreamt could possibly happen to me, but it has, so dreams come true.
Indeed. Well, congratulations, Michelle. The book, Marilyn Monroe, Private and Undisclosed. Good to talk to you.
Thank you very much.
We'll be right back.
www.cocktailnation.net.
Hi, this is Sarah from Escort Park.
You are the Bob, you're the man.
Hi, this is Joseph from Freshwater.
Hey, everybody. This is Steve from Cranbrook.
Just listen to your radio all the time.
Hi, this is Janice from Post Point, and you're listening to the Cocktail Nation with Kim Kimmer.
Abrázame y no me digas nada, solo abrázame. Me basta tu mirada para comprender. Abrázame como si fuera ahora la primera vez, como si me quisieras hoy igual que ayer. Abrázame. Si tú te vas, te olvidarás que un día, hace tiempo ya, cuando éramos aún niños, me empezaste a amar y hoy te di mi vida. Si te vas, si tú te vas, ya nada será nuestro. Tú te llevarás en un solo momento, una eternidad. Me quedaré sin nada si te vas. bésame y no me digas nada, solo abrázame. No quiero que te vayas, pero sé muy bien que tú te irás. Abrázame como si fuera ahora la primera vez, como si me quisieras hoy igual que ayer.
Cocktonation with Coop Cooper and Laura Fuji and Abrazame. Well, some news this week that the mod men of Nutty are the mad men of music. Nutty's CD Jet Set of Jazz is soon to be released on June 26th. Looking forward to that one. We'll be catching up with Sunny Moon in the coming weeks and bringing some new tracks. Meantime, catch some more details by heading to nutty.com. Here's Vicky Carr.
Amor, estoy sola aquí en la playa. Es el sol quien me acompaña y me quema, y me quema, y me quema. Cuando calienta el sol aquí en la playa, siento tu cuerpo vibrar cerca de mí. Es tu palpitar, es tu cara, es tu pelo, son tus besos, mi estremezco. Cuando calienta el sol aquí en la playa, siento tu cuerpo vibrar cerca de mí. Es tu palpitar, tu recuerdo, mi locura, mi delirio, me estremezco. Es tu cara, es tu pelo, son tus besos, mi estremezco. Cuando calienta el sol
recuerdo, mi locura, mi delirio, me estremezco.
People staring at you. They keep peeking over their shoulders, wondering where you're going tonight. Where you going, Frank?
Don't tell me not to fly. I've simply got to. If someone takes a spill, it's me and not you.
Don't the Cocktail Nation.
Donation, Coop Cooper and Skip Heller with Hurricane Apartment. Word this week that there are some rumours that Brother Cleve of Combustible Edison fame is going to be launching a new Tiki Night soon. I assume it's probably going to be in Boston, and he is probably going to be tending bar and hosting. And in other rumours, Tiki carver Marcus Thorne is involved in a very big project that we'll be bringing more on in the coming weeks, and it's something that involves Tiki's and tiki bars. It's pretty huge for Australia, so more on that soon. Time for a look at the world of swank now. Easy Lounge every Thursday, first Thursday of the month, with DJ Tom LG at 3255 Lakeshore Avenue, Oakland, California. Tales from the Tiki Lounge coming up July 6th. This is a special Brad Parker night. You can check out some of his paintings at La Luz de Jesus on Hollywood Boulevard. And tiki carver Marcus Thorne heading to the Cairns Ukulele Festival. He's going to be the guest artist there for a week. And a haunting workshops every day from July 3 till July 7. He's then heading over to the Hawaiian Antiques and Collectibles Fair that you might like to check out as a guest artist for the weekend, 21st and 22nd of July. He's going to be doing some live carving in the big hall. The Martini King's first vinyl LP Palm Springs Serenade is going to be released by Dionysus Records on July 10. The LP features cover by Shag, and the band's going to be playing a record release party for Brad Parker's Tiki Art Show that we were talking about at La Luz de Jesus on July 29. Looking forward to seeing this album too, a little blurb that I put on there on the back of the album too, so I'm keen to check this out. July 9 at the historic Mai Kai restaurant in Fort Lauderdale, the Atomic Grog are going to be featuring a party featuring the special flights of Vintage Cocktails, some live music. DJ Mike Jet Setter Jones is going to be there, and the event is the climax of 52 weeks of special cocktail reviews on the atomicgrog.com blog. Tuesday nights at NYC, New York City, PKNY, Primitiva and Hi-Fi. Right now, the Blue Hawaiians and Flesh and Soul on the Cocktail Nation.
This is the Cocktail Nation. Music.
It's a quarter to three. There's no one in the place except you and me. So set 'em up, Joe. I've got a little story you ought to know. We're drinking, my friend, to the end of a brief episode. One for my baby, and one more for the road. I got the routine, so drop another nickel. I'm feeling so bad. I wish you'd make the music dreamy and sad. Could tell you a lot, but you've got to be true to your code. Make it one for my baby, and one more for the road. You'd never know it, but I'm a kind of poet, and I've got a lot of things to say. And when I'm gloomy, you simply gotta listen to me until it's talked away. Well, that's how it goes. And Joe, I know you're getting anxious to close. So thanks for the cheer. I hope you didn't mind my bending your ear. This torch that I found must be drowned, or it soon might explode. Make it one for my baby, and one more for the road.
Hello, baby.
Cocktail Nation, Lounge Leader, Cooper Cooper, Big Kahuna, and the Cobra Cat Pack, and their version of I Dream of Jeannie. Well, next week on the show, we're going to be catching up with Don Tiki. They've got a big show coming up at Disneyland later this year. Meantime, I'm going to leave you with Arthur Lyman and Lay of Jazz. Stay here.